Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Tuesday, July the 14th, 2020. 14 coming up on 15 minutes past the hour. 7:14, 2020, and away we go. Now, this is going to be a big day here on WWGH Radio, because next hour, we have an interview I think everybody's going to want to hear. Now, here's the reason why I think everybody will want to hear this interview, and even if you don't know that you want to hear it, I'm going to explain why you might want to hear it now. We have celebrities on this program. We have sports figures. We have local people. We do politics. We do all that. Well, here's what's happening next hour. And you may have heard about this a couple weeks ago on this program, but we really did not know any of the details at that particular time. And hopefully we'll know some of the details in the next hour. And it's going to be live, so I really don't know much, to be honest with you. But as many of you know, a few years ago, we found out that Warren G. Harding, the president from Marion, Ohio, did have a grandson, had a daughter. She has since went on to her reward, but does have a grandson, and his name is Jim Blessing. Now, to my knowledge, I'm still the only person in Marion who's ever interviewed Jim. We just, in the beginning, 5 years ago, we struck up a rapport, and he's come on probably two or three times over the last 5 years, and we've had a great time talking with each other. Well, we learned about 2 weeks ago, Fred Malone called in live during the show and said to me that, he called in during the show, I think. Yeah, Fred Malone called in during the show a couple weeks ago and said that the Historical Society had been informed that Jim, and I we'll learn about this next hour because I really don't know the particulars of this, that Jim had filed a case in a Marion court to have the body of Warren G. Harding, which would be his grandfather, exhumed. And that's all we know. Really, at this point, that's all we know. We know that the case has been filed in court. We don't know who it's against. We don't know why he would want to do this. We don't know really anything at this point. Well, next hour, if all goes well, for the first time anywhere, you're going to hear the answers to all these questions, because Jim Blessing is going to be our guest, the grandson of President Warren G. Harding. And this story has all the makings of a great story for Marion, Ohio. Number one, it's not political, I don't think. I can't imagine how it would be political. Number two, it certainly could not be more Marion than Warren Harding. We have more things named in this town, including the high school, the memorial, and several other things I'm sure I'm forgetting named for this man. We also, it's a mystery in a way, because exhuming a body of a former president is a kind of a big deal. I think it's been done before, but I don't know. Certainly not in this area. And then, just by coincidence, this is all going down during the 100th anniversary of the election of President Harding as President of the United States, which will happen in November. So it's really, really an interesting story that will be told, and it's a story I don't know, but it's a story we'll learn about together. Now, can you imagine the body of President Warren G. Harding being exhumed. Can you imagine that happening out on Delaware Avenue? It would be very interesting. And why is this being done? We know that he wants it to be done, but we don't know why. I mean, usually when you do something like that, it's a DNA test. But we have now known for 5 years, through DNA, that he is the grandson, and that his mother was the daughter, and I don't know that that's ever been in dispute. Certainly it was not in dispute with the New York Times, which first published it. It was not in dispute when we spoke with Jim 5 years ago. I don't know that it is in dispute. But we're going to find out this morning the answers to all these questions. If everything goes well, we'll talk with Jim Blessing from 9:15 to 10 o'clock this morning. So that's going to be interesting. Now, does anybody have any thoughts on this before we get to that story? Because it's a great history story from the perspective of why is this being done? Is exhuming a president a good idea, no matter what the reason? I don't know. I'd be interested to hear your opinion on this. And why do you think it's being done? We'll find out in an hour. But why do you think it's being done? What do you make of that whole story? We've not really talked about it on this station. But it's a big, big story. Because you would have to say that, right along with Mary Ellen Withrow, I don't know if there's ever been a more famous resident of Marion, Ohio, certainly in the political arena. I mean, we've had some famous people from Marion, but in the political arena, to have a president, remember, there have only been 45 presidents. How many cities are there across the United States? I mean, there are 88 counties in Ohio alone, and we've only had 45 presidents. So to have a president from your city or county is a big deal. And this is something I've never understood living in Marion all these years. Now, granted, Warren Harding had his picadillos. There's no doubt about it. He had an eye for the women. He obviously had a child out of wedlock, which in those days he was the sitting president when that happened. That was kind of a big deal in the 1920s. He had a few dust-ups during his presidency, you know, Teapot Dome, we all remember that. But even though he usually qualifies during President's Day when they do all those surveys about the greatest presidents of all time, he always ranks at the bottom. He's usually always in the bottom five. But even if he's in the bottom five, there have only been 45. Only have been 45 presidents. So you look at 88 counties in Ohio and then take the other 49 states. How many counties do we have in the United States of America? It's probably an astronomical number. And then you take how many cities we have in the United States of America. It's an astronomical number. And there have only been 45. And one came from here, Marion, Ohio, where you sit. So to me, that's interesting. And that's why this is a big story, because there are only 45 places this could happen. And what are the odds, and I bet this is just an odds thing, that it would happen on the 100th anniversary of the election of President Harding. This year's the 100th anniversary. A matter of fact, this time in 1920, Warren Harding was being chosen as the candidate for the Republican Party back in 1920. So this November will be the 100th anniversary of Warren Harding being elected. Not too far off. Maybe about the time the trial will be going on to exhume the body of the former president. Who would have thought that 100 years later? Well, that's going to happen next hour. If anybody has any thoughts, give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And also, if you have an opinion on Warren Harding, because to be honest, that's a topic we really have not spent a whole lot of time discussing on this show. And here we are in the 100th anniversary year of him being elected. What really do you make of this man? Now, I understand he had his picadillos, as I say. He certainly was not a faithful man to his wife. He certainly, if we believe the president's daughter, which I think we certainly do have to believe now, knowing that he did have a daughter and a grandson, he did things in the White House that probably were not the most How would you say that? They probably were not the most clandestine. They probably weren't the cleanest things that office or that closet in the White House could be used for. And you know, even as I say that, you would have to know the story. You would have to have read The President's Daughter to understand why the closet in the White House is a big deal. I'm not going to get into it and explain that. You're just going to have to draw your own conclusions on that one, if you don't already know. I think most people in Marion do already know what that's all about. What do you make of the man in general? And what do you make of this new hullabaloo that we're learning about the man? I think it's kind of fascinating. Are there any history buffs out there or anybody who just has an opinion? I mean, this is the president from our hometown. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz, and we can discuss this right here on the air. The phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz, and don't forget Jim Blessing, the grandson of President Warren G. Harding, coming up next hour here, 9:10 to 10 a.m., live in his first interview since the court papers were filed to exhume the body of President Warren G. Harding. How about that? Who would have thought we would have ever been saying those words during the 100th anniversary year of the election of President Harding? Fascinating. Fascinating stuff here this morning. And why do you think he did it? Why do you think he's doing it? And do you think it'll get done? You know, I don't know if that's a big deal. When it's a family member, I don't know. If it's a president, is it a bigger deal? Probably. I don't know who would make that decision. But maybe a judge here in Marion will be making that decision. I don't think that would be a jury trial. I don't think. It might be a jury trial, but I don't think it would be a jury trial. In any event, we'll learn more about that from 9 to 10 this morning. But if you have any opinions on this or President Harding in general, things you've heard over the years, we all hear these things. 740-383-9944. 740-383-9944. Coming up on 26 minutes past the hour here on WWGH Radio. Don't forget today, coming up this afternoon, the Adam the Computer Guy Show, 2 to 3. Voice of a People with Linda Sims, 4 to 5. And the Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker, 5 until 6 today. That is the programming lineup. Now, here's something that happened to me this morning. Let's get to the personals of this whole situation. Okay. Here in the office, we have a couple trash cans, and the trash cans are not very big trash cans. You know, they're average size for an office. We have two. We have one in the studio and one in the office. And they fill up fairly quickly. They usually fill up within about a week, week and a half, kind of depends. And somebody should take those out. Now, what we had been doing since we moved here last September is, because there's a dumpster downstairs that we have to take the trash to and dump it, instead of taking the trash cans down there and trekking them down the hallway and down the elevator and going outside and dumping them in the dumpster, what we've been doing is we take a big trash bag and we just dump all the trash out of both trash cans into the trash bag, and then we just take the trash bag down and throw it in the dumpster, and that's that. And by we, I mean me. I'm the one who normally does this. I hate to bring that up, but I'm 9 times out of 10, and it may be 10 out of 10, I'm the one who's taking this trash down, which is no big issue, but that's the way it is. So about a month ago, I'm going to say maybe a month, month and a half ago, we ran out of the big trash bags here. And I said, you know, we need to get some more of those big trash bags because it's so much easier to take the trash down that way. And for some reason, we have not been able to get the trash bags here. I don't know what the reason, but we don't have the big trash bags replenished as of yet. So what I have done the last two times we've had to take the trash down is I have brought a trash bag from home, which is usually just a smaller trash bag. Not a tiny one that would fit these trash cans here, but just a trash bag that would, you know, fit in your trash can at home, which is not a huge trash can. It's not a big, I don't know how many gallons those big trash cans are, but it's not one of those. So I come in here, and the first time that went really well, and there were no problems, and all the trash made it down and got thrown away, and everything was hunky-dory. Well, I noticed yesterday that the trash cans around here were definitely piling up well over the rim of the trash can. So I thought, okay, well, I got to remember to bring a trash bag in tomorrow because we still haven't replenished the trash bags, and I've got to get this stuff down to the dumpster. So I remembered to grab a trash bag this morning. I was proud of myself that I remembered to grab a normal-sized trash bag and bring it in, and I start to put the trash in it. Now, here's where I knew I was in trouble. See, this is what I do before I go on the air. That's why there's no show prep in the morning, because I'm taking out the garbage. So here's what I'm doing. I'm in the studio part. No, the office. I was in the office. I started in the office with the office trash can this morning. And I'm filling up this trash bag. And I knew I was in trouble because before I had totally emptied that trash can in the office, it was already almost to the top of the trash bag. And I've still got another trash can to go. But I'm thinking to myself, because I am determined, I am faithful, I thought, I'm going to get all the trash in this one trash bag. I'm going to smash all this down, and by hook or by crook, I'm going to get all the trash in here. So I finally get all the trash out of the office trash can, and I move to the studio to start emptying the trash in the studio. And immediately, there's trouble. Because there's only, like, I was only able to smash the trash down to where there was, like, a quarter area left in the trash bag. And the studio trash can, just like the office trash can, was overfilling. Overflowing, as you would say. So I start to fill it, and I realize I can't just dump it in. Because if I dump it in, it's going to go all over. It's going to go all over the floor. It's going to go all over me. It's going to be a bad situation. So I decide, you know, there's nothing really awful in the trash cans here. Usually it's just plastic cups and pieces of paper and stuff like that. So I thought, well, you know, I'll just load up this trash can. I'll sit down in the chair here, and I'll just load the stuff out of the trash can into the trash bag, and that'll make everything hunky-dory. So I start to do this. And about midway through, I touched something in the trash can. And immediately, I had a flashback to something. Now, here's what happened. I flashed back to last Friday night. As my hand is in the trash can, as I'm emptying it to put it in this trash bag. And what I flashed back to was going to a restaurant before the show last Friday night and ordering chicken nuggets. Now, you say, well, this is not a problem because certainly all the chicken nuggets were probably eaten. And, you know, what's the big deal if you grab an old chicken nugget? This is not the worst thing in the world if it's in the trash can. And you're exactly right. I think all the chicken nuggets were probably eaten because I did not see any chicken nuggets. And even if I had grabbed an old chicken nugget, this would not have been the worst thing in the world. So, what's the problem? Well, here's the problem. If I get nuggets from anywhere in town, I usually do not order any sauce at all. I just don't like honey mustard. I'm not a big ranch person for nuggets. I like it on a salad. I just don't get the sauces. I don't do ketchup on nuggets. So what do I use on nuggets, you may ask? And only, I think, one place in town actually has this. I like to use honey on chicken nuggets. So, last Friday, when I ordered these chicken nuggets before we came and did the show on Friday night, of course, I got honey with them because the place I went to had honey. Well, as many of you know, no matter what you're eating, when you are eating it with honey, you're not going to be able to scrape all the honey out of the container. And obviously, when you're done, you're not going to hold on to that container. Why would you keep it? There's no reason to keep an old container like that. So I throw the honey container into the garbage last Friday night, obviously, the trash can. And this morning, you know what happened now. My hand went right into the old honey packet. Now, I like honey. I like honey on a nugget. I like honey in a lot of other places. I do not like honey on my hand while it's in a trash can at 7:30 in the morning. This just is not my idea of a good time. So, I take my hand out of the trash can, and now I'm covered in honey, which is really fun. You know, unlike any other thing you would get on your hand in the trash, you know, honey really, pardon the pun, sticks with you. So, I'm sticky, and thank goodness we have a sink here in the studio that I can go wash my hands. But I go in, I wash my hands, and I thought, okay, now I've got to continue. I want to make sure this trash can's empty. So I come back in, and I continue to empty this trash can. And by the time the trash can was emptied, which, by the way, I did get both trash cans emptied. By the time the trash can was empty, I was almost up to my elbow in honey left over from the nuggets on Friday. So, that's what I did this morning before the show. I don't know what you were doing this morning before the show, but that's what I did. Doesn't that sound fascinating? Isn't that just... See, these are the things you learn about radio. That's an inside the brim story. That's a behind-the-scenes story right there. And you know, it's funny because I know my hand's clean right now because it's obviously not sticky. But when you put your hand in that, that is the weirdest feeling because nothing sticks like honey. You could hang a picture on your wall at home, I think, if you rubbed honey on the background and on the back of it. It's one of those things. So this is how my morning started. Now, has anybody had an incident like this? And I'm not necessarily saying with honey, but are you the person in your home or in your office who's always dealing with the trash? And have you ever had to do something like this where you came across something totally disgusting? And for some reason, you know, and I don't even know if in my mind that honey is a totally disgusting thing. I don't even know if I would write it off as a totally disgusting thing. I just think that putting your hand in it, and it does have something to do with 7:30 in the morning, is not a fun thing. I'm going to have to get some of those yellow gloves here at the radio station for when I have to go rooting through the garbage in the morning empty it, if I ever have to do this again. I need the big trash bags is the real end of this story. The real end of this story, the big trash bags, I never had a problem because I could just empty the trash can right into them. But, here we go. The Facebook's up and running already. Oh, my goodness gracious. Now, see, because I was asking the question, has this happened to anybody else? Now, I am seeing quite a mess here. But I'm not sure what happened. I see a bunch of trash bags, and I see some big containers of something. Oh, this is very strange. Now, that's an interesting story. I don't even know if I can tell that story because I wasn't there. Now, this person, what? I don't know if I can tell that story. Yeah, I can understand why you'd be sticky after that particular situation. Boy, this is a weird story I'm getting here on Facebook, and there are pictures of it. Isn't it funny now how, though, we take pictures of everything? Even the nastiest situations in the world, we take a picture of it. I mean, this is the world we live in now. We love to take pictures of our messes. I should have taken a picture this morning of the trash can and put it up on Facebook. I bet it would have got a lot of hits. But, man, you know, I can't believe that somebody would do what I'm being told that they would do. That's strange. Now, I know this person. I would love to hear this story because I don't understand why they would do that. This sounds like the stupidest thing in the world. And I don't understand this. What? Can anybody explain this to me? That's a strange, strange story. Did somebody want to call in and explain that story? Because I don't understand why somebody would do that. Trust me, this is a mess, folks, and I'm seeing the pictures of it. What an awful, awful mess that is. And it sounds like this totally could have been averted by doing something very commonsensish. But I don't know what it would have been. That's very, very strange. Anyway, phone lines are open. Have you ever had an incident like this? 740-383-9944. That's weird. That's a weird story. It has to do with ice cream, by the way. I probably can tell you that much. An ice cream mess that had to be cleaned up. But I just cannot figure why somebody would do that. Okay, I can tell the story. The person doesn't care. Well, essentially, what happened last week was somebody had ordered a lot of ice cream. And 25 gallons, to be exact. 25 gallons of ice cream. Now, think of how much a gallon is of ice cream. 25 gallons, and the delivery driver didn't put it in the freezer for the food delivery. They left it out in the sun, and you know how hot it was last week, maybe 80, 90 degree days, and it all melted. I don't understand. They put it in a shed instead of putting it in the freezer. Wouldn't you know if you were a delivery driver and you had 25 gallons of ice cream that when you opened up the shed on a 90 degree day that it's hot in that shed and ice cream melts? I mean, why would you even do that? Even if nobody else was there to receive the ice cream, why in the world would you put it in a hot area? Why wouldn't you just take it with you? You can't put ice cream in a shed. Now that is a very bizarre story. I mean, I clearly would think that you would know you couldn't leave ice cream in the heat. Now, if somebody else was there and you told them, hey, you know, here's your ice cream, you might want to put this away, I could see that. But why would you put it in a shed and not tell anybody that you're putting 25 gallons of ice cream in a shed? And that, oh, when that would have melted, that would have been awful, awful nasty. Ugh, what a nasty mess that must have been. Okay, let's see here. Oh, the freezer is in the shed. Well, is the whole shed refrigerated? I guess is what I don't understand here. He had it across from the freezer that's in the shed. But wouldn't you know, again, a warm area from a cold area? I mean, I think this is just the common sense part of this. You know, this brings up a question. Do you think people have common sense? I really want to believe that they do. I really do. But then I see a story like this, and I see the picture that you ruin 25 gallons of ice cream and make a mess in the shed that somebody has to clean up. I'm not even sure how you clean up 25 gallons of ice cream in a shed. Now, see, but here we go again. Do people have common sense? Buzz me on this. 42 and a half minutes past the hour. Pick me up on the toll-free line. Do you think people have common sense? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz. Do people have common sense in general? Because to me, that is a big lack of common sense. 25 gallons of ice cream in a hot area. I understand delivery people are very busy, and I understand they want to go along with their day and get done what they need to get done, but why in the world would you put 25 gallons of ice cream in a warm area? I can't imagine. You know, I understand that a lot of these delivery people are told just to drop it off, but if you're going to put it in the shed, the employees can't even see that you've put it in the shed. which is what makes that very odd to me. You know, you wouldn't even know what you've already done. So I don't know. Do people have common sense? Do we have common sense? Maybe that's a more important question. Give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Common sense is an interesting question because we use that term a lot, and I think we all believe we have it. But do we? Do we have common sense? I don't know. I really don't know if we have common sense. I think we all want to believe we have it, but I don't know if we do have it. Also, does anybody have a story on the, or a comment or question on the President Harding situation? I don't know. That's very interesting, and we're going to find that out here momentarily. I'm being told here, he drops the ice cream off early in the morning, so the ice cream is supposed to get put away. Clearly, the guy missed science class. Well, now if you're being told to put it away and that's the routine because you're there before the restaurant opens, you would have to know that you should not leave this in a warm area. I don't know. When you have 25 gallons of ice cream melt like that, what do you do? I mean, obviously you have to clean it up. That's a big part of it. But then what do you do? And by the way, this all ties in a way to the conversation we were having on the show yesterday. Remember we were talking about the sad, sad suicide of Elvis Presley's grandson at the age of 27 years old? And do people care? And do people do special things for other people? And do people tell other people what they mean to them? And I really hope they do. And I really hope yesterday that everybody went out and told somebody what they mean to them, or wrote a letter, or took a picture, because every cell phone has a camera in it now. I really do hope that happened. But it's funny because this morning, seeing these pictures of the ice cream just melted all over this shed and melded all over everything. See, that's a great picture in a way. Not that it happened. I'm not happy that the ice cream melted everywhere and made such a sticky mess, but I'm not happy for the person that the ice cream melted, but I'm happy that those pictures were taken, because see, this is the world we live in again. We can take pictures of everything. And that was a funny picture to see, because that's not something you see every day. Ice cream melted everywhere. So pictures matter. So again, send somebody a picture that they're not expecting. I didn't expect to see 25 gallons of ice cream melted this morning. Send somebody a note that they're not expecting. You know, these things are very important to talk about. And we talked about them yesterday, and I'm glad we did, and I'm glad we're continuing to talk about them somewhat today. Because if you don't tell people that they matter, if you don't try to raise the common spirits of everybody, it's going to be a problem. And you're going to have some bad days where some people get very upset, and heaven forbid they end up like Elvis Presley's grandson, who committed suicide. But we've got to be more cognizant of other people's feelings. And maybe that's what's going on right now, too. We talk about everything going on in the world, how we can't agree. We just are completely argumentative. We are stuck in our own opinions. I don't understand it. I don't understand why, if I have an opinion and you have an opinion, why do we have to be at odds? I'm sure there are other things we don't agree about. And here's the thing that really interests me. This is a real psychological study. Why is it that if we disagree about things like politics or religion or apparently statues, if we disagree on that stuff, it's an argument. And we can't get past it. Can't get past it. We have to dislike the other person. We almost have to disown the other person on those subjects. But if we disagree, like on a type of clothing, oh, you dress this way, I dress this way, or if we disagree on a color somebody paints their house or a room in their house, or we disagree on the type of car you buy, you know, much more personal things, that doesn't cause a rift. Like if I say, I want to paint this room yellow and green, And you say, oh, yellow and green, that would look awful. Well, I still want to paint the room yellow and green, so I go ahead and paint the room yellow and green. It's not like we have a knockdown, drag-out argument over this. So, I don't... Why can we have those arguments, which are much more personal, and much more personal to our local daily lives, and completely survive it? But we cannot argue about politics, religion, or apparently statues. Those are the arguments that we have to hold near and dear. Why? Why is that? Why can't we just say the same thing we do when you paint your room a color we don't like? Oh, okay, well, I don't necessarily agree with that, but it's yours, and go ahead and do what you want to do. Why is that? Why are there certain things we just can't get past? And I think it is creating a little bit of apathy in the world. It's creating an atmosphere where it's us against you, us against them. You're either with me or you're against me. I don't understand that. Because the only way we're going to survive, I'm telling you right now, remember I said this, the only way we're going to survive is together. That's the only way. We're not going to survive apart. Nobody is an island unto themselves. You have to understand that. So the moment you understand that you do need other people, the better off you're going to be. You know, I hear people say all the time, I don't need anybody. You know, that's not really true. And you look at people who do need people, and they need them desperately. So, I don't know. That's a funny thing. And I've even heard people say, and this is an interesting one, because I'm not totally sure about this one. My happiness is not dependent on someone else. Well, I will agree to that to this degree, that if we're talking about maybe like a particular person, yeah, you can say that my happiness is not dependent on that person. I agree with that. That's 100% correct. But to say that your happiness is not dependent on people, that's not really true. Because let's say you're watching a movie that makes you happy. Let's say you're watching a television show that makes you happy. Let's say that you're watching, or you're in the grocery store and that makes you happy, or going where, well, you know, people are involved in these actions. People made these television shows. People are in these television shows. Somebody wrote them. Same thing goes for the movies. The people you're around in society, you know, if they treat you badly, you're not going to like it, and your happiness that day might be dependent on that. So I think to some degree, yeah, your happiness is dependent on other people. And if you surround yourself in a group that is kind of... Here's the problem. Here's the catch-22. We all love gossip to some degree. And obviously, we're more comfortable with people who we know than people who we don't know. Clearly, we're more comfortable with people who we know than strangers. But that's not always the best choice. Sometimes the right choice is not the easy choice. Because a lot of times, these people who... How should I put it? Sometimes these people who are in your life and do give you some joy because of the gossipy nature of what they are and the comfortability of them being in your life for a long time, are not there proactively. They're not there to make your life better. They're not there to make you feel better. And sometimes there are a lot of people who are there and can make your life feel better. So that's always something to be aware of. And I'm not always sure it's best to cut people out of your life, but I certainly think you can be aware of who is good and who is bad and who is a good influence and who is a bad influence and kind of go from there. All right, we're getting some feedback here. Someone can't make you overall happy, essentially, but things and people do make you happy during moments. Yeah, and I think that's the point. I don't know if one person can make you overall happy, but they certainly can contribute. I do know people See, this comes back to love. And here's what I think the definition of love is. I think if you really love somebody, it's because every time you're around them, they do pull you out of the muck. Like, if your life is messy and your life is unhappy a lot of the times, if there is somebody by just their presence in your life makes you happy, I think that, you know, your happiness could be dependent on that person. You would know it if they left or did something horrible to you. Yeah, I think your happiness can be dependent on one person, but I think it's also good to have good people in your life all around. I don't think you just have to have that person in your life, but don't fill the rest of your life with losers. That's a good term, isn't it? Don't fill your life with losers. Words to live by. All right, we all love to know that other people have problems besides ourselves. Well, that is true. We all do love to know that other people. And that's why I think we keep some of these relationships going, because either they have a terrible problem, and we clearly see they have a terrible problem, so it makes us feel better to know that they're a mess, or we like to hear what they have to say about other people who are a mess. People are like that. Happiness should never be dependent on one person. I'm split on that one, because I think that you know over time if happiness is eroding. I think you do. You can tell. People are smart. They might not have common sense, but they're smart. And you know when your happiness for somebody's eroding. And maybe you can put it in somebody else. Have you ever had somebody... Now, here's the perfect example of this. Have you ever had somebody in your life... Oh, they totally make you happy. Everything's hunky-dory. It's great. And then they do something that's kind of awful. And you're miserable. You're just miserable. You're unhappy. You're upset all the time. It's not good. And then somebody else comes in your life, and for some reason... When you're with them, you're happier. They may be a friend, they may be a relationship, but when they're there, you're happier. Now, that's a chemical reaction in your body. And what causes that chemical reaction, I really don't know. But I think you should levitate toward those people, because it's much better to be happy than upset. You know, upset will take time off your life. Happiness will help you live longer, just like naps. You know, there, and yes, people do disappoint people, but I don't think that kills the happiness. I think you can disappoint somebody and maybe be upset with them for a moment, but it doesn't mean that it kills the happiness. Now, fake happiness, that's a whole other thing. If you're just sticking it out, which a lot of people do, if you're just sticking it out, well, that's a problem to begin with. You can't put your eggs in that particular basket. But if it's pure happiness and you're happy with them for some reason, that could work. It might work. It has worked. Let's put it that way. All right, we've got Jim Blessing, Warren G. Harding's grandson, coming up here in about 15 minutes. Why does he want the body exhumed? We're going to figure all that out here in about 15 minutes. Hopefully, if the phones work and the connections are all right and everything's plugged in. And it's going to be interesting. And people sometimes don't know what happiness is. That is true. We've seen a lot of that. Oh, let me tell you something odd, okay? Last week, and when I was young, there was a show on called Unsolved Mysteries. And I hated the guy who hosted it, Robert Stack. I don't know why, hated this guy. He was on The Untouchables, I think. But he was always in graveyards with trench coats, and I just couldn't stand the show. And what I really couldn't stand in the show is they would show, like, these reenactments of people being bludgeoned to death or abducted or something like that. And then at the end, here would come old Robert Stack, and he would say, you know, Bob Jones is still on the loose, and always consider them armed and dangerous. And if you happen to see them, please do not approach them. Call your local law enforcement officers or call our toll-free number at 1-800-853-5353. Isn't that awful? I can still remember that number. That just tells you how much I hated this show. So, apparently Unsolved Mysteries is making a comeback now, and people are watching it. And because two people told me last week they are watching this Unsolved Mysteries. And Robert Stack is not on it, thank goodness, because he's dead. He's went on to his reward. Robert Stack is on to his reward. I'll have to go to his shade and apologize for saying that thank God he's dead. But Robert Stack is gone, but I still will not watch this show. Now, here's the irony in 40 seconds that I'm going to tell you. I've been using my tablet as my Roku remote, so I take it in the bedroom at night with me when I go to bed so I can turn the channels on the Roku. And last night, when I turn on my tablet and I turn on the Roku remote part of it, who is right there on the Roku tablet advertising Unsolved Mysteries? The long-dead Robert Stack, who's been dead for 15 years. I think somebody's out to get me. Why would he be there? He's not a part of the new Unsolved Mysteries. He's been dead for 15 years. Jim Blessing, President Harding's grandson, coming up in 15 minutes.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio. The talking place for 107-year-old viral video sensation Virginia McLaurin on meeting President and Mrs. Barack Obama.
You said now you'd be able to die happy. Why did that mean so much?
Well, you see, I'm 106. And this is my wish, always wish that would happen. They wish I would have a part of it. And I could go to heaven and tell my Lord about it.
We can never know this, but what was it like to be told you can't eat at a certain restaurant? What was your experience with that?
Well, you know, when you bone and graze up in this violence, you didn't know any better. You didn't pay any attention. You would pass this restaurant and it say white. Then you miss, oh, you can't go in there because that's white. That's for white. Then you go to the other one or go someplace there. Oh, we can go in here because it's black. And then you go in and a lot of white